Father, I thank you for your word today and ask you to open it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. Building together with Jesus. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am." So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter, the outspoken one, answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Amen. Who do men say that I am? Who do you say he is? You know, you get all kinds of answers, don't you, when you say, "Well, who is Jesus to you?" Well, you know, he was this long-haired hippie dude that walked the earth about 2,000 years ago and did around, you know, multiplying food and, you know, and healing people and doing a lot of good deeds. And, you know, Jesus was a good man, some will say, and Jesus was a prophet. Yes, he was one of the prophets, and some in the New Age today will say he was one of the ascended masters, or, you know, and he's just one of many roads, many ways to God. And so Jesus is asking the question, and of course they're getting all kinds of varied answers. You know, some say you're Jeremiah, you know, some say you're a good man, you're a prophet, and John the Baptist, some even said. But of course, I don't know how they got that answer, seeing John had just come and presented his ministry prior to this. But some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And of course, Peter was the one who said, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What did he mean that by that? He meant that he was the Messiah. He was the one that they were waiting for. He was the one that they were teaching about and learning about that was to come. And he didn't say that you are a way. He says you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," right? No man comes to the Father but by me. There are not several ways or many ways to get to God. There is but one, and that is through that one intermediator, who is Jesus Christ. And I know this is looked upon as being a narrow point of view, very narrow-minded, and you may even be called a narrow-minded bigot because you believe that there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Well, if that's not true, it's not a problem. But if that is true, and you are trying to come to God some other way, we have a problem. Because the Bible is very clear. It says there is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one way, and that is through Jesus. And why is that? Because Jesus was more than just a prophet. He was more than just a good man that went about doing good. He was the Christ. He was God incarnate, God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And therefore, he was the only way for us to be restored to fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And he was the only one that was qualified to be our sacrifice because he was without sin. He'd never sinned. And because of that, he qualified to pay the price for sin. Amen? You and I have access to the Father through the blood of Jesus. And only through that one way that he has chosen. And he has given us assurance of this reality and that he has raised him from the dead. Amen. Buddha is still in the grave. Amen. The bones are still there. Muhammad is still in the grave. Amen. The bones are still there. But you won't find the bones of Jesus. Amen. Because He is risen. He rose bodily on the third day. He ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And He ever lives to make intercession on our behalf. And whosoever calls upon that Lord, amen, that name shall be saved, shall be delivered. But you have to come through that one way that God has made available. And that's why Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction. And there are many that go that way. But narrow, difficult, or confined is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Why is that? Because it's not many ways, but one way, and it has to be through God's way, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I know it's not popular to talk this way, because people want to believe what they want to believe by tradition, by upbringing, or by hearsay, or just by personal opinion. But how many know that personal opinion will not save you? Only the truth will save you. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth is what is authentic. The truth means what is real. It is the reality. Many times we have received something that was a lie thinking it was true. All of us have an opinion about life, you know, about a lot of things. But opinion doesn't necessarily mean it's true. I don't want to be duped by my own understanding and just my own way of thinking. I cannot know God. I cannot know Him unless He reveals Himself to me. I was looking for God in all the wrong places in my life. Meditation, just different things. Looking for God in all the wrong places. Until I met Jesus. And Jesus revealed Himself to me. Do you know that Jesus is revealing Himself around the planet right now? He's revealing Himself to Muslims. They're having visions. They're having dreams. They're seeking God. They're seeking the only way they know. And Jesus is showing up. I'm the one you're looking for. I am the way. And they're receiving Christ, and they're getting radically transformed, radically saved. And those especially that were radical for Muhammad are now radical for Jesus. Imagine that. See, God loves the world, doesn't He? He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We should change our mind, change the way we've been going, and turn to the only way He made possible for us. And that is Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no other foundation, folks, that can be laid than that's already been laid. When Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, blessed, extremely happy to be envied are you, Peter. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven allowed you to see, to understand that truth. And I say to you that you are Peter. Now, let me straighten something out here. Some of you know where I'm going already. He says, you are Peter. And that word in the Greek is Petros. It means little stone or a piece of rock. A piece of rock. You are a piece of rock. Okay? You're a piece. And on this rock, that's a different word. Petra, that means like rock ledge. You are a piece of rock. And on this rock ledge, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many know that Peter is not the rock? He is not the solid foundation upon which our faith stands. He, amen, is not Jesus. He is a little rock, just like you and I in Christ are little stones. Lively stones. And so he's saying, upon what? This rock. What was the rock? It was the declaration. It was a declaration of the truth that you are the Christ. You are the foundation. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the only way to the Father. You are the sure foundation. If someone believes on you, they will not perish. If they put their hope, their trust in Jesus, they will be saved. Hallelujah. Any witnesses in here today? Yeah. Ephesians 2:20 says, having been built on the foundation, the church, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians, back to Ephesians 2:21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now the New Living Translation says this in Ephesians 2:20, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are his building. We are his house. We are actually the apple of his eye. We are spiritual Israel. The church is what Jesus has got his eye on, folks, today. He's looking at his church. He's got us in his sights. He's watching us, observing, amen? Anticipating the day when we will be presented to him. The time is coming, amen, when Jesus shall return and receive us to himself. And so what God's desire is that his church, or if you will, in type, his bride, will be pure, that should be holy, that should be presented faultless before him in that day. And the only way for the bride to be made holy is through two ways, and that is through repentance, turning back to God, amen, and by the power of his grace through the shed blood of Jesus working effectively in us. You and I cannot cleanse ourselves. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill your body and have no more to do with you. Amen? Fear God. Amen. Don't fear man, fear God. But there is a way, there is a truth, and there is a life, and that is Jesus. He is the only way. Folks, what God has put in my heart today is that he wants us to also join with him in his mission and in building up the body of Christ. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, didn't he? He told us to make disciples. To make followers. He told us to build up one another. His eye is on his people. We are the church. We are the temple of God. Amen? We are to be built up a holy habitation of God in the Spirit. Amen? God does not dwell in temples made by hands. Amen? He dwells in us, in Christ. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as a member of Christ's body on earth, just a member, I also need to be brought together and connected together with the rest of the body of Christ. Can somebody say amen? It's called fellowship. We're to be together and we're to fellowship and we are to minister to one another. We are to minister the gift that God has given us to one another. And it's very important that we understand that God's eye is on the church. And therefore, our focus needs to be also on the body of Christ, which is the church. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. The church, as some people think about it, they think of an institution. They think of a building. No, we are the church. This is a meeting house. Amen. There are some who say, well, you can only be saved through the church. What do you mean through the church? And they're actually talking about their institution. They're not talking about Christ as the foundation. Amen. They're talking about some cult or some group. And there is no other way except through Jesus. We know that. So in Acts 7:47, it says Solomon built him a house. Solomon built God a house. God, I want to build you a house. Now, it was a noble, amen, endeavor. And, of course, it was one of the most beautiful buildings ever. And he did it out of love for God. He wanted to build him a house. And so he built him an earthly temple, you know. But what does it say here in the next verse, verse 48? However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Acts 17:24. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. How many know that we need God? Do you know that God doesn't have to have us, folks? Do you understand that? God is okay by himself, but God chooses us. God allows us to be a part of what he's doing. He wants to share his glory. He wants to share his kingdom with us. And some say, well, God doesn't want to share his glory with us. Well, look at the prayer of Jesus in John 17. Read that, John 17. He wants to share his kingdom with us. He wants us to be a part of it. And he allows us the privilege of co-laboring together with him in the earth to build up his temple, his church, his people, to edify the body, amen, so that we would be a habitation, a corporate habitation of God in the Spirit. How many know that it's always better to be together with more people? If you can get together in a group, amen, a small group, two or three, that's wonderful because the Lord said, I'm there, right? But I think it's more special when a bunch of us get together at the same time, amen? Not only that, there are more giftings. There are more angels, amen, that have been assigned to us by the Lord. And we're all coming together as a corporate body. Every member is important. Amen. If you stub your toe, it hurts and the whole body feels it, right? And somebody said, well, I don't need my thumb. The thumb's not that important. Yes, it is. You try to function without your thumb. Every one of us is important. And I'm trying to say this is that God is focusing on his church. And that every one of us here, everyone in this room, if you're in Christ, you have been saved to be involved in the mission of God in the earth. And the mission of God is to reach the lost. Amen? The mission of God is to come together as a body and to edify or build up one another in the faith. Each one of us have received gifts and graces by God that are important, so that we together might become mature and full and complete. We cannot be complete independent of the body of Christ, folks. It's impossible. It's getting quiet. I don't have it all. You don't have it all. But together it's all there. We are all necessary. We're all important. There's only one superhero, right? So God wants us to come together, to build up one another. Amen? And he wants us to reach out to his lost sheep and bring them in. Bring them in. Folks, how many of you realize that the local church is God's plan? It's God's idea. I know there's people that write in books out there, oh, no, that's a pagan Christianity. You got to stay away from that getting together in the church and they're all sitting facing the front. It's like some pagan thing. And no, this is just a building, folks. We are the body of Christ, but we need to have a place to gather. Can you say amen? Amen. We're not worshiping the building. We're worshiping God. Amen. And so we have to be careful because the enemy is attacking fellowship. He's trying to separate the sheep. He has already many that are just on the peripheral, if you will, of the sheepfold. They're on the edge. And they're very vulnerable at this point to be picked off. Why? Because they're not in and they're not out. They're just kind of on the edge. And God spoke to me. He says, I want you to go after the lost sheep. Focus on the ones who are on the edge. Get them into the fold. Get them on board the ark because the flood is coming. Come on, somebody. We pray every Friday, we storm heaven and we say, God, assimilate, bring people in, not just from, you know, sitting out in the peripheral, but bring them into the heart of fellowship here that we have, that we'll be a family and we start to minister to one another, that we'll love one another, that we'll have genuine care and concern for each other, that we learn each other, and that we benefit from each other's gift. God didn't say, draw a crowd together and everybody do their thing and then go home and forget about it. He says, I want you to build my church. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How does he do that? By each member in his body doing its part. We are the body of Christ on earth. Somebody say amen. Jesus is going to build his church through available vessels. Jesus is going to build his church through people say, Lord, here am I. Send me, use me. I'm willing. I'll go for you. Jesus is going to build his church from people who say, Lord, I don't want to be in it for me. I want to be in it for my sister and for my brother. How can I be a blessing? You know, my wife and I have discussed, you know, if you think about all the religions of the world and people that bow down to idols and burn incense and do all this stuff, they're always praying to their gods and they're saying, oh, give me this. Oh, give me that. Oh, bless me with this. Bless me with that. And everything is about me. Do you ever notice that? Do you know sometimes Christians, we do the same thing. It's all about bless me, bless me, bless me. How about, Lord, it's not about me. How can I be a blessing? Oh, I want to be a blessing. I just want to be blessed. I want to be a blessing. If you bless me, it's so I can be a blessing. That's why we need each other. We need to be together. As often as we get together, let's get together. Let's join together. Let's pull together. Amen. Not just make an intellectual agreement and say, yeah, yeah, you're right. Amen. Good word. But we say, you know what? Lord, I want to obey you in this. I really want to commit myself to you and to your mission and to your body so that I can be about what you have your eye on, and that is building up his church. Do you know how churches come alive and are vibrant and are alive? It's because the members that are there are not there for themselves, but they're there for each other. And this love of God that flows. There's love of God in this church. Amen? God wants to take us higher, though. He wants to take us deeper. And he wants to draw in those who are on the peripheral, who are just kind of hit and miss. And they're so vulnerable right now to being picked off. I've watched it over and over again in my years of ministry, that people who just kind of dip their foot in and out, eventually they get picked off. You've got to make the decision to commit yourself to Jesus Christ. Amen? Make a decision. Don't just say it on Sunday morning and forget it on Monday morning. Amen. It's like commit your life to him daily. Walk with him and say, Lord, how can I be a blessing today? How can I love you back today? How can I be a blessing in this world? I want to be a blessing. How about you? I believe that. I know you do. And you are. But we have been called to this. We've been called out of the world system to connect to the body of Christ. And so there's an enemy, a wolf, that's constantly seeking to separate the little lamb. He's trying to draw them off, get them interested, get them off track, get them off focus. So now they begin to wander over here. And next thing they know, they're drinking from the polluted wells of this world. They're drinking from the polluted puddles. And they're, next thing you know, they're into the noxious weeds that look so appealing and so scrumptious, and yet they're poisonous. What is his desire? The devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's just looking for an opportunity to pick one off. Have you ever watched Wild Kingdom? But I used to watch how those lions would come up and they would look for their prey. And that little gazelle, and especially the little guy, right, that's kind of like off, and they start to wander from the fold. Well, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the straggler. They're looking for the one who's not really in. He's kind of in and out, and he's not paying attention. Somebody say amen. Amen. We've got to be paying attention. And he wants to pick him out. He wants to devour somebody. And my heart cries out, say, oh God, you know, I want to see people saved. I want to see people saved good. Amen. We don't want them just to come and play church. We want them to become the church and be a part of what you're doing. Amen. To know who they are, their true identity, why they're here, and be functioning of that. You see, fellowship, the gathering of the saints is important. I can't overemphasize the importance of it. How many know you cannot separate Jesus from his body? Folks, I'm going to tell you, someone who is willingly separating themselves from the body and yet claim to be followers of Jesus are deceived. They're deceived. Because you cannot separate Jesus from his body. We are the body of Christ on earth. I want to finish with this. Noah and his family were the only ones saved through that flood. Hear me. The ones who built the ark typifies Christ and his body. The ones who were involved in building the ark, who weren't distracted by the other things, were the same ones who were ready when the day came and they went on board the ark. And they were spared. God has called us to be about his business now. If you're saved, if Christ has saved you out of the world, he wants to take you into the land. Remember, we read that this morning from Jude. He saved the people out of Egypt to do what? To take them into the land. But many of them didn't make it because they got distracted. Other things pulled them away and they lost sight of where they were going. You and I are called to build up God's body. We are called to the kingdom business. All the builders are the ones who are going to be on the ark. I believe that. The people who are concerned and care about Jesus and what he wants. And that is that his church would be holy. That his church would be ready. We've got to take our eyes off the world and get them on Jesus and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I be a blessing? How can I help? How many know it's not all about just teaching Sunday school and greeting at the door and taking the offering and singing on the choir. Amen. Those are all ministries. Those are all things that we can do. Thank God for those who are willing to clean the church. Praise God for people like that who are functioning in a gift, which is called the gift of helps, which God will bless them eternally for. But we thank God for also those who are called into, amen, the marketplace. To go into wherever they work, to go to the park, to go to Walmart, amen, wherever people are found, to be salt and the light. And you may not be a preacher, but you can have a testimony, amen. You can share people your story, like Graydon's been talking to people every day since September about his story. You know, that was very timely, brother, today. Because that's exactly what God is saying. I want you to share your story. I want you to tell others about me. If you can take a gospel track and you can leave it when you're at a restaurant, be a good example, tip good, and then leave that track. Amen. If you get an opportunity, talk to those people that are in there. But we've got to all be about building. We've all got to be about drawing people to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody reached out to us. I thank God for those weird people that reached out to me. Now I'm one of them. But God is good. Hallelujah. God, we love you so much. And Lord, we want to serve you. We want to honor you. We want to live for you. We want to make you known. Lord, make us fishers of men. Make us soul winners. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us great boldness, Lord, to open our mouths and speak the words of life, to share our story with others, to draw others to you. We ask you for help. We ask you for grace to do what we're called to do, God, because we realize what we're called to do is bigger than we are. So help us, Lord. Help each one of us here, Lord, not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the word. To be about building up your kingdom made up of lively stones of human beings you gave your blood, you shed your blood for. Lord, keep us mindful of these truths daily that we would not forget that as you have called us out, now you have sent us to call others out. We pray your kingdom come and will be done. And I pray, Father, your shalom, your perfect peace will envelop this congregation. Keep us in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.